What if everything we've been taught about keeping passion alive is wrong? For generations, relationship advice has centered on maintaining desire, that electric, spontaneous craving that defines new relationships. When it inevitably fades, we panic, thinking something's broken. But here's the truth that's transforming relationships. Pleasure, not desire, is what actually matters. Think about what you genuinely want from intimacy. Connection, feeling physically and emotionally close. Shared pleasure, mutual enjoyment without performance pressure. Being wanted, feeling desired and accepted exactly as you are. Freedom, escaping the weight of daily responsibilities. Notice what's missing from this list? That urgent, spontaneous, I need you now feeling we've been told defines healthy sexuality. Our sexual response operates through two mechanisms, an accelerator that notices potentially pleasurable stimuli and brakes that detect reasons not to be aroused. When you're stressed about finances, exhausted from childcare, or feeling obligated rather than excited, your brakes naturally engage. This isn't dysfunction. It's your context screaming for adjustment. Sexual difficulties rarely stem from insufficient accelerator stimulation, but from too much brake activation. The belief that sex must happen naturally without planning or discussion is perhaps the most damaging myth of all. When pleasure becomes your measure of sexual well-being, the question shifts from how often do we want sex to do we enjoy the sex we're having?
Ever feel stuck knowing you'd enjoy intimacy if you could just get there? The problem isn't desire. It's your current emotional state. You might be trapped in overwhelm, exhaustion, stress, or incompatible roles like parent mode or work mode. Your brain contains 7 core emotional spaces, 4 pleasure-favorable states, lust, play, seeking, and care, and 3 pleasure-adverse states, panic, grief, fear, and rage, where pleasure feels impossibly distant. Here's what changes everything. You don't need to force yourself directly into lust. Instead, aim for adjacent spaces that naturally connect to desire. An artist might access desire through drawing their partner, bridging seeking and lust. A parent might find watching their partner care for their kids creates gratitude, their bridge from care to lust. What's your pathway into lust? Most connection requires intentional communication built on admiration and trust. Be intimate only with people you genuinely admire. When stressed, reframe annoying traits by connecting them to positive qualities, seeing stubbornness as persistence, or recognizing that intense focus enabling career success also means occasionally forgetting tasks. Trust answers, "Are you there for me?" This requires emotional accessibility, responsiveness, and engagement, turning toward feelings with warmth rather than problem solving. Building trust means both partners bearing small costs for each other's benefit through consistent small choices prioritizing the relationship. Long-term relationships mean witnessing each other's aging, illness, and vulnerability. A curious approach helps separate illness from identity. Your partner has needs, but isn't defined by them. Shane and Hannah Burkhouse's intimate life doesn't look like in the movies, but works beautifully through clear communication. Jessica and Claudia demonstrate how partners care for each other without viewing disability as burden, each contributing their strengths while maintaining identity beyond physical circumstances. Many carry fraught relationships with pleasure due to shame and judgment. At least 1/3 of women, 1/6 of men, and 1/2 of trans and non-binary folks have experienced intimate partner or sexual trauma. Our emotional landscapes adapt to trauma, not as brokenness, but as survival mechanisms, creating portals between emotional states or trapdoors from lust to fear. Healing requires curiosity about metaphors and stories that soothe you, because transformative narratives capture the internal experience of healing like nothing else can. The toughest relationship challenges involve collaborative change, initiating shifts with a partner, and healing persistent wounds. The crucial reframe? Ask, how do we change, not how do I change my partner? The hard truth? You can't reason someone out of something they were never reasoned into. Facts don't care about feelings, but feelings don't care about facts either.
Change moves through stages: pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, and maintenance. Each stage requires specific approaches, offering information without pushing, exploring advantages of change, transforming interest into intention, building confidence, and providing consistent feedback. For old wounds that block connection despite sincere apologies, healing requires third-thing conversations, treating hurts as external projects you tackle together. One couple broke through after years of careful processing by turning against the feeling itself with shared defiance. "Fuck off, feeling. We're done with you." This collaborative stance, us versus the problem, creates conditions for genuine healing. Remember, change in long-term relationships happens gradually. The situation developed over months or years. Changing it may take just as long. Our culture imposes limiting sexual imperatives: the coital imperative, prioritizing penetration; the variety imperative, requiring diverse activities; and the performance imperative, treating sex like work. Research on lesbian couples dismantles these myths. They report less frequent sex than heterosexual couples, yet equal satisfaction, more varied behaviors, longer encounters, more orgasms, and more gentle kissing. Frequency doesn't determine fulfillment. The pretty imperative, the bikini industrial complex, profits from convincing us our bodies are unlovely unless they match impossible standards. The antidote? Blanket permission with two rules. Everyone is glad to be there and free to leave, and there's no unwanted pain. Everything else is optional. Schedule connection time without expectations. Center pleasure over performance. Remember, consent is the only rule. Plan getaways to shift context and keep asking what you want. Your answers will evolve. At birth, someone assigned your gender based on your genitals, handing you a cultural handbook of rules for living in your body. This gender binary obscures how bodies and relationships truly work. While it promises happiness through conformity, we need acceptance of our authentic selves. Children assigned female learn to be givers, pretty, calm, attentive to others' needs. Those assigned male learn to be winners, strong, stoic, ambitious, infallible. This creates a chasm between our ideal self, society's demands, and our true self, who we actually are. What we need is connected authenticity, being safe and loved within community while remaining ourselves. The Western gender binary isn't universal. Samoan culture recognizes 3 or 4 gender roles, Navajo culture 4 or 5, Bugis culture in Indonesia 5 categories, including gender transcendent shamans, and pre-colonial Yoruba culture had reproductive distinctions but no gender categories. Rejecting the gender mirage becomes crucial as bodies age. Clinging to beliefs that genital behavior measures identity or worth means predictable changes devastate self-worth and relationships. Your partner isn't your enemy. The system trapping you in restrictive roles is. The erotic isn't just sexual. It's the deepest life force moving us toward living fully. This force appears in all bodily experiences. The relief of finally urinating after holding it, taking your first bite after days without food, drinking water after a long run. This magic trick accesses the field of self, where individual existence merges with others. Like photons existing as both particles and waves, we shift from experiencing ourselves as separate entities into a wave state where boundaries dissolve. The formula has 5 parts. Move your body in time with others, for a shared purpose, by choice. You need any 3 components. Embodiment explores your body as ecstasy's location. Rhythm creates entrainment between people. Sharing space co-creates connection. Having a shared purpose asks why this connection matters. Choice, the most crucial component, means the experience must always be voluntary. This happens while singing in groups, dancing, cycling alone, praying, protesting, or creating art. In lasting relationships, mismatched desire isn't a problem, it's a natural rhythm. The quickest way to transform this normal season into crisis is to worry about it. Be who you truly are. Love who you love. Love how you love. When pleasure becomes the point and you navigate emotional landscapes together with curiosity, That's when the magic happens.